I mean, just imagine generating 1,000 like perfectly targeted photorealistic ad images in the exact amount of time it takes you to take a single sip of your morning coffee.
Right. It's wild.
And then imagine taking those images and projecting them directly into your field of vision using a piece of physical hardware that is literally smaller than a single grain of sand. Welcome to the deep dive.
Yeah, that sense of scale is just, it's hard to wrap your head around.
It really is. And if you are a creator trying to, aggressively upgrade your production pipeline, or maybe a business leader watching how enterprise tech is just quietly taking over the world, or honestly, if you are just insanely curious about the future of media, you are absolutely in the right place.
Absolutely.
Our mission today is to cut through the relentless noise of the generative AI landscape. We are pulling apart a stack of sources from the April 13th, 2026 edition of the AirArt Daily Digest, and we are going to connect the dots for you. So, okay, let's unpack this.
Let's do it.
We're starting with generative AI video because the fundamental narrative has completely shifted. Like, we are no longer living in that era of purely chaotic experimental novelty.
Right, the whole dog eating spaghetti morphing into a nightmare dimension thing.
Exactly. We've officially entered the era of practical cutthroat reality.
Yeah, that transition from like novelty to utility is incredibly stark right now. I mean, if you spend any time reading the chatter in the Rawtomation community,
Which is great community, by the way.
oh, arguably the best raw pulse check available, especially if you've been head down on other projects and just need a really fast situational awareness update. But the tone there has completely changed. They aren't sharing tools based on what looks impressive in some, controlled cherry-picked demo anymore.
No, nobody cares about the demo now.
Right. The entire conversation is aggressively centered around what can actually survive a brutal production deadline this week. Like, they are surfacing tools that deliver predictable, controllable results.
And I think the most unexpected part of that push for predictability is that it has completely fractured the market. Like, there is no single, God tool that does everything perfectly.
No, that myth is dead.
Totally dead. We've been looking at this massive, highly detailed creator comparison on Reddit, where a user ran identical prompts through Runway, Kling, Veo, and this lesser-known tool called AnimeBlip.
Right, I saw that.
And the assumption going into a test like that is usually that the biggest, most well-funded, generalized model like Veo is just going to sweep the board. But that absolutely did not happen.
No, it didn't. And what's fascinating here is that the underlying math of generative models is actually forcing a divergence.
What do you mean by that?
Well, trying to build a one-size-fits-all video generator is just computationally, mathematically inefficient. Like, to be good at photorealistic human movement, the AI has to prioritize smooth 60 frame per second interpolation.
Okay.
But if you try to use that exact same mathematical approach for stylized 2D animation, it looks terrible.
It gets that weird floaty look, right?
It's exactly. Uncanny and floaty. And that is why AnimeBlip emerged as the undisputed standout for anime-style work in that creator's deep dive.
Because it doesn't even try to do photorealism.
Right. AnimeBlip doesn't try to be photorealistic at all. Its training data allows it to fundamentally understand the visual language of the genre. I mean, it knows how to handle a thick line weight, and more importantly, it understands frame pacing.
Which is huge for animation.
Massive. Traditional anime is often, shot on twos or shot on threes, meaning a new drawing only appears every second or third frame. It gives it that crisp, punchy, slightly staccato rhythm.
Right.
A generalized model tries to smooth that rhythm out. AnimeBlip knows to preserve it.
Yeah, it's exactly like we've moved from having one unpredictable magic camera that sometimes takes a brilliant portrait and sometimes spits out a blurry mess to suddenly owning a heavy canvas bag full of highly specialized camera lenses.
That's a great way to put it.
Right, like you reach for the Kling lens when you need a specific type of complex camera pan, and you reach for the AnimeBlip lens when you need that stylized, cel-shaded, low frame rate aesthetic.
Yeah, absolutely.
But okay, if the video landscape is fragmenting into a million bespoke, specialized tools for individual creators, it begs a massive question about the other end of the spectrum.
The enterprise side.
Exactly. Massive global enterprises don't want a million bespoke tools. They want unified, frictionless infrastructure. So how is static image generation functioning at that corporate scale? Because that feels like an entirely different universe.
Oh, it is an entirely different universe. And it's operating on a scale that is almost difficult to wrap your head around. At the enterprise level, image generation is no longer like a fun creative side project.
Right.
It has literally become the underlying plumbing of the corporate internet. Take right. Stability AI, for example. The Digest points out that their models are now natively powering the on-brand visual generation for HubSpot.
Which is huge, because HubSpot is a CRM, a customer relationship management platform.
Yeah.
It's the software that tracks every email, every interaction, every marketing touch point a business has with a customer. So integrating AI generation directly into the CRM means the person making the image isn't an artist using Photoshop.
Not at all.
It's a sales manager clicking a button to auto-generate a banner image for, like, a Tuesday afternoon email blast.
Exactly. And that level of integration yields highly measurable financial results.
Right.
I mean, Mercado Libre, the massive e-commerce giant in Latin America, is reportedly seeing a 25% lift in click-through rates by deploying this exact kind of automated infrastructure.
A 25% bump is insane at their scale.
It is. And the mechanism behind that lift is entirely based on context. They aren't relying on a static, one-size-fits-all stock photo of a blender sitting on a white table.
Right, because that's boring.
Right. By connecting the generative AI to their user data, they can generate hyper-targeted, culturally specific product backgrounds on the fly. Yeah, so if a user in a specific coastal town in Brazil views the blender, the AI instantly generates a background featuring local coastal lighting, specific regional architecture in the window, maybe local produce on the counter.
That's brilliant.
And it does this instantly. We are looking at an edtech application running on Amazon Bedrock, which is Amazon's massive cloud orchestration service, that is churning out over 1,000 customized images every single minute.
Every minute. I mean, 1,000 images a minute changes the basic math of marketing entirely.
Completely.
Like A-B testing, where you compare two versions of an ad to see which works better, that's not even a strategic campaign choice anymore. At that volume, it's just the default autonomic reflex of the system.
Which is precisely why DigitalOcean published their new breakdown of 8 different stable diffusion alternatives. They categorize these tools based on technical skill levels and creative goals, but
there's a bigger reason.
Right. If you read between the lines, that piece is essentially a survival guide. The gap between a casual hobbyist generating one image at a time and a production-grade enterprise deployment is closing with terrifying speed.
Yeah.
If your visual pipeline still requires human intervention for every single conceptual iteration, you are already mathematically behind the automation curve.
So what does this all mean? Because I need to challenge this trajectory for a second.
Sure.
If an e-commerce giant like Mercado Libre is churning out thousands of perfectly optimized, localized images to get a 25% bump, and they have the Amazon Bedrock infrastructure to do real-time generation at light speed, how does a solo developer or, you know, an independent filmmaker or a mid-sized design team even begin to compete?
Daunting.
They do not have enterprise cloud budgets. They cannot spin up a server farm. It feels like the big players have simply outscaled the independents.
That is the essential tension in the creative economy today. And the answer is that independent creators do not attempt to compete on brute force volume. That is a losing battle.
Right. So what do they do?
Instead, they compete by taking absolute granular control over localized workflows. They go infinitely deep where the enterprise goes wide. And the primary mechanism for this survival strategy right now is Comfy UI.
Yeah. Comfy UI has absolutely taken over the creative conversation. Even looking at the open art community, they have this rapidly expanding workflow template library.
Yes, the template libraries are huge right now.
They specifically highlight something called the Comfy Summit Collection, which acts as this incredible fast track. A solo creator can just go into the library, find a complex generative pipeline that an expert has already perfected, download it, and instantly bootstrap their own operation.
True, but the dynamic is shifting away from just blindly downloading templates. For a long time, creators would grab a Comfy UI file, hit run, and just pray it worked.
Because it's so complicated.
Exactly. And if the image came out garbled, they had no idea how to fix it because the process was a black box to them. But now, there is a massive push for true foundational understanding.
Hence the documentation updates.
Right. The official Comfy UI docs finally released a comprehensive guide that actually explains node networks in a clear, developer-friendly way, forcing the user to understand the underlying mechanics of the model.
Yeah.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting to me. When you look at a comfy UI node network on a computer monitor, it doesn't look like a standard software menu.
Not at all.
It looks exactly like the back of an old school analog synthesizer. Just a massive, chaotic spider web of digital cables connecting different little boxes. You aren't just typing a prompt and hoping for the best. You are physically routing the flow of the AI's, you know, imagination.
That is a highly accurate way to visualize it. You are manipulating the mathematical journey of the image. The documentation teaches you how to watch the data flow. It starts with the text encoder turning your written prompt into numbers, which then enters the latent space.
And we should define latent space because it sounds like sci-fi jargon.
Please do.
It's essentially the multidimensional mathematical realm where the AI understands concepts. Like, it's where the idea of a dog and the idea of spaghetti exist as coordinates before they are ever turned into pixels.
Exactly. So the data moves through that latent space into the sampler, which is the tool that essentially sculpts the image by removing digital noise step by step and finally out to the decoder, which translates that math back into a visible picture.
Okay.
And by using a node network, you can intercept that signal at any point in the journey.
Which brings us to the logic forms thread on character swap setups. This thread is an absolute goldmine, and it perfectly illustrates why this deep routing matters.
Oh, the character consistency problem.
Yes. The holy grail, and simultaneously the biggest headache of AI media, has always been character consistency. If you ask an AI to generate a character looking to the left, and then ask for that same character looking to the right, the AI naturally wants to change the shape of the nose or alter the lighting on the cheekbones.
Because it's technically dreaming up a brand new image every time.
Right. But with Comfy UI, the community is figuring out how to intercept the signal.
They are doing it by splitting the data streams. Instead of just sending a text prompt, they use specialized nodes like control nets or face detailers to lock the mathematical coordinates of the character's bone structure.
Wow.
Yeah, they separate the depth map, which dictates the 3D shape of the face, from the texture map, which dictates the lighting and skin. You keep the depth map rigidly locked and only allow the AI to recalculate the texture map when the lighting changes.
That's incredibly smart.
It is. This guarantees the character's face never warps or shifts, regardless of the scene.
But, and here's the catch. Achieving that level of control requires massive computational power.
It does.
And this is where I have to push back on the independent creator's survival strategy. To run these complex, multi-node, comfy UI networks, you need serious VRAM.
Oh, definitely.
VRAM being the short-term memory of your computer's graphics card, where it physically holds the image data while it paints it. Relying on massive local VRAM instead of the cloud feels exhausting. I mean, I read stories about artists whose local machines crash 11 hours into a 12-hour render because of a sudden VRAM spike.
Ugh, yeah, that is brutal.
Are we really asking independent artists to become hardcore systems administrators just to make a short film?
The frustration you're describing is incredibly common, and it is a painful bottleneck. I mean, managing local hardware, monitoring temperature spikes, and balancing memory loads is a steep, often aggravating learning curve.
Right.
But artists are willingly enduring that pain because it is a trade-off for absolute sovereignty.
Sovereignty, okay.
Yeah. When you rely on a cloud service like Midjourney or OpenAI, you are at the mercy of their servers. You could experience sudden API price hikes, latency delays, or a silent update to their content filters that breaks your entire project overnight.
Which happens all the time.
Exactly. When you run locally, you own the workflow permanently. And tech companies recognize this pain point, which is why AMD is aggressively pushing their GAIA platform.
GAIA is pitching local private AI agents, right? How does an agent help solve the hardware headache?
Well, an AI agent acts as your autonomous systems administrator. Instead of the artist manually babysitting the graphics card to prevent a crash, the local AMD GAIA agent intelligently manages your VRAM allocation in the background.
Oh, that's incredibly useful.
It really is. It can queue up an incredibly complex 50-step comfy UI character swap workflow, optimize the hardware load, and execute the entire batch perfectly overnight, completely offline. It essentially brings enterprise-level automation down to a single desktop tower.
But there is still a physical ceiling here.
How so?
If every independent creator is pulling massive AI models off the cloud and running them locally through autonomous agents, the physical hardware eventually becomes the ultimate bottleneck. Graphics cards are getting larger, they consume massive amounts of electricity, and they run incredibly hot.
That's true.
We cannot just keep building bigger and bigger desktop towers to put in our living rooms. The architecture of the hardware itself has to fundamentally change.
And that necessary architectural shift is exactly what we are seeing. But the solution isn't to build bigger. The solution is happening at a microscopic scale, which really defies our traditional intuition about computing.
It's so weird to think about.
Yeah. We're reaching a point where the massive computational effort required to generate these images is being completely decoupled from the physical size of the display projecting them.
Which takes us to the IE spectrum report highlighted in the digest. This completely shattered my understanding of display tech.
It's mind-blowing.
They published a detailed report on a new MEMS photonics array chip. And MEMS stands for microelectromechanical systems. These are microscopic devices with actual moving parts.
Yeah.
And this specific chip can project high-definition video at a scale smaller than a single grain of sand.
This raises an important question about how we physically interact with media. Because to understand how a grain of sand can project a movie, you really have to look at the mechanism.
Right. How does it actually work?
This MEMS chip utilizes microscopic oscillating mirrors. These mirrors move at blinding speeds, precisely reflecting incredibly tiny lasers to construct a full-color visual image point by point, literally millions of times a second.
It sounds like magic.
I know, because the physical mirrors are submillimeter in size. The entire projection array is virtually invisible to the naked eye.
It is almost impossible to visualize. A grain of sand. I mean, you could embed an IMAX theater projection system into the rim of your glasses, or weave it into the fabric of a collar, or even integrate it into a contact lens.
The implications for extended reality or XR creators are staggering. I mean, for the last 100 years, our consumption of media has been restricted by a physical boundary.
The screen.
Yes. You look at a rectangle, a television screen, a movie theater wall, a smartphone monitor. You hold the rectangle in your hand or you mount it on your desk.
But with a MEMS photonics chip operating at a microscopic scale, the physical boundary evaporates. The technology becomes invisible, meaning the generated media is no longer confined to a screen. It can be projected outward directly into the real world.
We are looking at the foundational capability to paint the physical world with digital light, seamlessly and continuously. If we tie all these conceptual threads together, the ultimate trajectory becomes very clear.
Yeah, let's tie it all together.
You have an independent creator who has mastered a deeply complex, comfy UI node network on their local machine, ensuring absolute character consistency without relying on the cloud.
Right.
They are using local AI agents to manage the heavy computational lifting. But that creator isn't going to render a flat, rectangular MP4 video file anymore. They are generating a responsive, dynamically lit 3D asset that is then projected directly into your environment through a chip the size of a dust mote.
The canvas completely changes. The creator is no longer producing a video. They're architecting a persistent spatial asset that literally lives in your living room.
Exactly. And remember the enterprise scale we discussed with Mercado Libre?
The 1,000 localized images a minute.
Yes. The ability to generate thousands of hyper-targeted, culturally specific images a minute based on user data. Imagine that real-time dynamic generation applied to spatial computing.
Oh, man.
The physical world around you will adapt and generate itself based on your specific context, powered by an invisible array of microscopic mirrors.
Okay, let's pull all of this together because we've covered massive conceptual ground today. We started by looking at how the AI video landscape is mathematically fracturing, moving away from generalized one-size-fits-all models towards specialized, highly targeted scalpels like AnimeBlip.
Right.
From there, we scaled all the way up to the corporate enterprise level, seeing how giants like Mercado Libre are using tools like Amazon Bedrock to churn out thousands of context-aware images a minute, effectively turning AI into invisible business plumbing.
And we also tracked the direct counter movement to that massive corporate scale. We saw how independent creators are ensuring their survival by mastering the complex analog synth-like signal routing of comfy UI.
Yeah.
By utilizing local AI agents to manage VRAM and locking down latent space coordinates, they are achieving absolute character consistency on their own terms, entirely offline.
And finally, we followed the physical hardware bottleneck down to the microscopic level, looking at how MEMS photonics chips utilize oscillating microscopic mirrors to project high-definition video from a speck smaller than a grain of sand.
Incredible journey today.
It really is. This tech landscape is moving with incredible velocity, but as we've unpacked today, it's not just theoretical hype. It is practical, deeply localized, and on the verge of being physically integrated into the world you walk through every day. If you want to keep tracking this evolution alongside us and getting these sources directly, make sure you subscribe to get the Tech and AI Daily emails delivered straight to your inbox.
And I want to leave you with one final, perhaps unsettling thought to mull over as you go about your day.
Lay it on us.
We've established that enterprise servers can generate 1,000 highly targeted images a minute. We know that local AI agents can animate and map those visuals with perfect, locked-in consistency. And we now know that microscopic hardware can project those visuals outward from practically nowhere.
Right.
When you combine those three distinct realities, are we rapidly approaching a threshold where screens, as a physical concept, completely cease to exist?
Oh, wow.
Are they about to be replaced entirely by invisible, personalized digital environments that quietly and continuously generate themselves in real time to paint over the physical world the very moment we open our eyes?
It's like the entire world becomes the canvas, and the physical rectangles we used to rely on to see the digital realm have just completely dissolved into the air.
Exactly.
It's a fascinating, complex, and slightly overwhelming space to be exploring right now. Keep questioning the tech you see, keep looking for the underlying mechanisms, and keep exploring those new tools.
And we will be right here to help you connect the dots. Thanks for joining us.
Take care, everyone. We'll see you on the next deep dive.